Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to reflect on a message given by RJ last week. We're going to look ahead to this week's message as we continue God's big story, and we're going to begin looking at Psalm 139 and this prayer by David. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, last week we had the opportunity to hear R.J. Amatangelo bring the message on a fifth Sunday. This was a wonderful time for me personally as I got to sit back and worship with my family, which is not something that happens all that often. But even more so, I got to hear from one of our elders as he brought a message that God had been working on in his heart for quite some time. You know, we were looking at Paul, an apostle, like the apostle, the one that so much of the New Testament was written by. We know, yes, that the Holy Spirit definitely inspired Paul and gave him the words to say, but Paul's writing style and passion were seen on full display this past Sunday. We saw four main points, and I encourage you, don't stop by listening to me tell you these points. Go back and look at last week's message. I'll even link it in the show notes. Well, Paul, we saw four characteristics that were pulled out of the many writings in the book of Acts. And the first one was that Paul was humble. You know, a man that had so much background, so much teaching, so many worldly things that he could have pulled from, he himself had said that, "I count them all as filthy rags." Paul was a humble man, and he over many times showed his humility that was definitely a power from the Holy Spirit. And Paul was humble. The second thing we pulled out of there that RJ shared with us was that Paul was obedient. Boy, you can't question this one. The amount of tough times that Paul had to go through, whether it was shipwrecks, being beaten, being flogged, being attempted to be killed, you name it, Paul had it done to him multiple times, but Paul continued to obediently serve the Lord. The third thing that we saw, a characteristic of Paul, is that he was bold. Bold for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the key points to our vision here at Grace Community Church is that we, you know, as we dream of being the best church for families in Lexington Township, we want to have a community that is bold for the sake of the gospel. And Paul gives us that tremendous example. And finally, we saw that he had a passion or a burden for the lost, the people that didn't know Christ, and that he felt called to go tell the gospel. What a wonderful sermon this was, and what a wonderful reminder of how we are to live for Jesus. Well, this week, we're going to get back into the story, God's big story. We're going to pick up the story right where we left off, where the kingdom was divided, and we saw last time that I spoke how God sent his messengers or his prophets to try to bring the message back to his people, God's people. And we're going to see this week how this divided kingdom, especially the northern kingdom, which, remember, didn't have one good king, one king that followed after the Lord, would finally meet their end, and they would, in fact, be conquered and exiled away. We're also going to look at one of the good kings from the southern kingdom, Hezekiah, who was a man who had a relationship with God. It was clear that he was trying to do the right thing as he even opened up the temple again, and he began to knock down all the idols that were around that the other Israelites were worshiping instead of the one true God. And we'll also see how God miraculously saved him from the same army that had wiped out the northern kingdom. The final thing we'll look at is that even though God had allowed the northern kingdom to fall, and soon, spoiler alert, the southern kingdom was going to fall, God's big plan was still happening. And through one of the prophets, Isaiah, who was speaking to the kings at this time, we also see one of the best, most obvious prophetic voices and writings that tell us that what this Messiah is going to be all about. You know, we're going to look at two specific passages in Isaiah that give so many clear evidences of what the Messiah will be like and how Jesus would end up being this prophesied Messiah. Well, I'm excited for this week, and I hope that you are too as we continue through God's big story, how you fit. You know, I wanted to take this moment here in the midst of the transition before I share what God has been showing me from Psalm 139 to just remind you, if you have a question that you're dying to know or something that you've been reading and you don't understand, I have a platform to be able to help you answer that question. Look for the link in the show notes or go to our website at gccofalliance.org and click on the green banner at the top. And this takes you to resources for the current series at Grace Community Church. Well, one of the links in there is the Ask the Pastor link. I would love nothing more to engage you and to help bring clarity to some of the questions that you might have about the Bible. This can be about what we're reading together. It can also be about anything else that has just been kind of stumping you recently. So I encourage you to do that. Leave a quick word on what the passage is, who you are, and what the question is. And then I will get back in touch with you when I record the answer to your question. So use that resource at the pastor. All right. Well, today, to wrap up our podcast, I want to take some time to read through Psalm 139. And I want to share a little bit from my heart what God has been showing me in this passage. You know, our men have started meeting again this year on Monday evenings, starting at 6:30. And we're going through a book series titled Design for Discipleship. And the first book is titled Your Life in Christ. And the whole premise for this book is to try to help believers in Jesus have confidence and assurance in their salvation. And so in the first week we just completed, one of the passages we were reading was Psalm 139. This passage helps us get at the matter and understand God knows me. God knows you as a believer. God knows everything about you, the good, the bad, and everything in between. And so this passage is a very powerful passage. So if you have a Bible, turn with me. I'm going to be reading from the NIV, from Psalm 139, starting in verse 1. It says, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before and have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where I can go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Now, I want to pause there for a moment. These first eight verses are powerful reminders. David, who is the author of this psalm, is crying out in verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me. You know me. David recognizes God's omniscience. He knows us. And we think of that sometimes on a big scale, but it's even more so on a minute or a smaller scale, an individual scale. God knows you. You know when I sit up and when I rise. In other words, you know when I get up and when I go around, where I'm going, you know I'm there. And another aspect that tells us about God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. You discern my going and my lying down. In other words, you continue to know where I'm going and what I'm doing. And verse 4 is a powerful one to me. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Think about that. Think about the good things you've said. Think about the not so good things you've said. God knows these. And you know what's more powerful than all of this is not only does God know me, but God loves me. In verse 13, if we jump down a little bit, he continues and says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In other words, as I was being formed, God had a part and he knew this. And David goes on in verse 14, it says, I praise you before I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know that full well. What a comfort that not only does God know me, but God loves me and cares for me, and I can feel that in my innermost being. Well, the last thing I want to look at here is in verse 23, where it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, in the one commentary here, it says this. David asked God to search for sin and point it out, even to the level of testing his thoughts. This is exploratory surgery for sin. Here's going on, the commentator says, how are we to recognize sin unless God points it out? You see, David, I think, understood something. He understood that his heart was deceitful among all things. It was sinful. You know, apart from Christ, apart from God, we cannot have any good in us. That's the unfortunate reality. And when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you know, David believed in God, we believe in God. This idea that we are now, because of our faith in what God, who God is and what He's done through the person of Jesus Christ, we are saved. But we also realize that, and hopefully you realize that you're not a finished product at that moment. In fact, until the day that Jesus comes back again, or until you die, there you will be a work in progress. This sin that lives in us, that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I want to do. Oh, what a wretched man am I. That's what I think what David was understanding, that his wretchedness, his sinfulness went so deep that he had to ask God, search me, know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Tell me, bring it to my eyes. Show me what that sin is. And then may I have the heart to not leave this offensive way there, but rather lead me in the way of everlasting, or lead me in the way of repentance and purification and sanctification. There's a big word that basically just says you're an unfinished work that's trying to become more like Christ every day. And these verses hit home to me because I realize that so many times I sit back and just see, oh, hey, from a surface level, I'm doing okay. You know, I read my Bible most days. I'm not doing any really horrible sins. And, you know, I, for the most part, want to be good. So surely I'm doing okay. And David's reminding me here that no, Gary, you are not okay. Your heart is sinful and you need to be constantly on guard. You need to be constantly pursuing Jesus Christ. And, you know, it just reminded me of a couple weeks back when I shared that the verse about we must throw off the sin of this world. We must throw off the things of this world, and we must pursue Jesus. Pursue, that implies a continual action. We got to keep doing that. You know, I think that's why Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples before he went before the Pilate and onto the cross, and in the final hours he had in the moments, we see in John chapter 15, where it says, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then throughout that passage, a dozen times or so, he says, remain in me, remain in me, stay close to me. And I think David is saying the same thing here. He's recognizing the grandeur and the awesomeness that is God, but he's also recognizing who he is as a sinner. And he's saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, refine me, help me remove those things, because we realize that sin, we cannot stop sin in and of ourselves. The only ability we have to do anything against sin is by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. But we must be seeking God and allowing Him to work in our life. You know, God has done everything that is needed for salvation, and He will do everything that is needed for the power of sanctification to take hold in your life. But there is an element of personal responsibility that we must give to Him. We must seek it. We must say, Heavenly Father, reveal the sin in my life. reveal the areas that I don't want others to see. Bring them to light. And Heavenly Father, give me the spirit of repentance to turn from that and turn towards you. So my question for you today is, are you praying this prayer regularly? Are you seeking out God's face and saying, show me, shine your light on me. Let me get closer to you, God, and shine your light into the deep crevices that is my soul and reveal in my heart that which needs turned over to you. And if you're not doing this, I would encourage you strongly to start praying this prayer, Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. Pray it regularly. But let me throw one more caveat on this. If you're not in a small group or in a discipleship group or meeting regularly with somebody that's helping you for your walk growing spiritually, where you are working together to grow closer to Christ and hold each other accountable, I would implore you, start today. Start asking God to reveal to you that person that He would have you to ask to be an accountability partner. And listen, this doesn't have to be super complicated. It could be meeting every other week over coffee and asking, you know, a couple simple questions. How are you doing in your personal devotions? Are there areas in your life that you're struggling with? Are there any unconfessed sins that you need to address? And then pray for one another. And as you build relationship and build rapport, you will get closer to one another and you will be able to share this burden of growing closer to Jesus Christ. Friends, God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay for your sins so that you would be able to come back to Him in relationship and He would receive all the glory. Sometimes we need to ask that question, is there anything that needs revealed in my life today? Well, thank you for tuning in, and I hope this message today was an encouraging one. And I hope, as always, that this podcast helps you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ and provides you with encouragement and the tools you need to serve Him daily. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.